Welcome to this presentation on quality control. In this presentation, we will look at two standards applicable to quality control, ISQC 1 and ISO 220. The presentation will cover the key elements of the standards, both in terms of the policies and procedures required at the firm level and the individual engagement partners' responsibilities on audit engagements. Why quality control matters? Quality control is important for several reasons. Firstly, quality control helps to ensure that a firm performs audits in accordance with the standards required by its professional body. This helps to maintain the reputation of the firm and the profession. This in turn increases the confidence of the users of financial statements and the information contained within them. Thirdly, it is used as part of a firm's risk management process. Performance of audits to a high standard will protect the firm against potentially damaging litigation. ISQC 1. This sets standards and guidelines regarding a firm's responsibilities for its system of quality control for audits and reviews of historical financial information and other assurance and related services engagements. It requires that the firm should establish a system of quality control designed to provide it with reasonable assurance that the firm and its personnel comply with the professional standards and regulatory and legal requirements, and that the reports issued by the firm are appropriate in the circumstances. The standard addresses the following elements: leadership, ethical requirements, acceptance and continuance of client relationships and specific engagements, human resources, engagement performance, and monitoring. Leadership. The firm should establish policies and procedures designed to promote an internal culture based on the recognition that quality is essential in performing engagements. It is the leadership of the company that are ultimately responsible for the firm's system of quality control. The promotion of a quality-oriented internal culture depends on clear, consistent, and frequent actions and messages from all levels of the firm's management. Without a strong culture in place, any attempts by personnel below the top level of management will be undermined by problems such as the reward structure used within the firm. An audit manager could find that their attempt to perform a quality audit is undermined by being brought to task for failing to perform to an unrealistic budget. If the message coming from senior management is that profits are more important than quality, this will inevitably lead to shortcuts and avoidance of procedures that might threaten the achievement of budget, such as consultation with the technical department. The quality-oriented culture can be promoted through internal training courses, mission statements, and appraisal procedures, as well as other formal and informal methods. In the past, there has been the perception outside of the profession, rightly or wrongly, that commercial interests have led to conflicts with the quality of audit work. The standard addresses this by stating the firm must place quality above commercial considerations by ensuring that it assigns its management responsibilities so that commercial considerations do not override the quality of audit work performed. There's policies and procedures addressing performance evaluation, compensation, and promotion that are designed to demonstrate the firm's overriding commitment to quality. Devote sufficient resources for the development, documentation, and support of its quality control policies and procedures. The IFAT code establishes the fundamental principles of ethics, which include integrity, objectivity, professional competence and due care, confidentiality, and professional behaviour. The firm must reinforce the fundamental principles through leadership, as addressed in the previous slide, education and training, monitoring, and a process for dealing with non-compliance. Independence. The firm should establish policies and procedures designed to provide it with reasonable assurance that the firm, its personnel, and, where applicable, others subject to independence requirements, maintain independence where required by the IFAC code and any national ethical requirements. Others subject to such requirements may include experts and network firm personnel. The policies and procedures need to be sufficient to enable the firm to communicate its independence requirements to its personnel and, where relevant, others, identify and evaluate threats to independence and take steps to reduce them to an acceptable level. The standard further requires that engagement partners provide the firm with relevant information about client engagements, including the scope of services, to enable the firm to evaluate the overall impact on independence requirements, such as fee levels and provision of other services. The personnel promptly notify the firm of circumstances and relationships that create a threat to independence. For instance, where they have inherited shares in an audit client. That sufficient, relevant information is accumulated and communicated to enable the firm to determine that it is satisfying independence requirements. At least annually, the firm should obtain written confirmation of compliance with its policies and procedures on independence from all firm personnel required to be independent. Acceptance and continuance of client relationships and specific engagements. The firm should establish policies and procedures for the acceptance and continuance of client relationships and specific engagements, designed to provide it with reasonable assurance that it will only undertake or continue relationships and engagements where it has considered the integrity of the client, is competent to perform the engagement, and has the capabilities, time and resources to do so, and can comply with ethical requirements. Human resources. The firm should establish policies and procedures designed to provide it with reasonable assurance that it has sufficient personnel with capabilities, competence, and commitment to ethical principles necessary to perform its engagements in accordance with professional standards and regulatory and legal requirements, and enable the firm or engagement partners to issue reports that are appropriate in the circumstances. A question. How can the firm ensure that it has sufficient personnel with the three C's of capability, competence, and commitment? They can do this through recruitment of appropriate staff, professional education and development, work experience, coaching and mentoring. Commitment to ethical principles can also be established through recruitment and training, a promotion of an internal culture, appropriate appraisal and performance evaluation systems, mentoring, and finally, disciplinary procedures. Assignment of engagement teams. The firm should assign responsibility for each engagement to an engagement partner. The engagement partner should take responsibility for the overall quality on each audit engagement to which that partner is assigned. That's from ISO 220. The firm should also assign appropriate staff with the necessary capabilities, competence, and time. Another question. What factors should be considered by engagement partners when selecting staff for an audit engagement? An understanding of and practical experience of similar engagements. An understanding of professional standards and regulatory and legal requirements, such as familiarity with solicitors' accounts, pension fund audits, banking audits, or charities. An appropriate technical knowledge, given the knowledge of standards covered on studies to date. Knowledge of relevant industries. The ability to apply professional judgment. This would relate to overall level of experience. And finally, an understanding of the firm's quality control procedures. Engagement performance. The firm should establish policies and procedures designed to provide it with reasonable assurance that engagements are performed in accordance with professional standards and regulatory and legal requirements, and that the firm or engagement partner issues reports that are appropriate in the circumstances. Firms would normally achieve this through the use of standardized documentation and processes addressing the following. Briefing the engagement team. Supervision and training. Reviewing work. Documentation. Processes to keep policies and procedures current. This will be addressed further when looking at ISO 220 at the end of the presentation. The firm should establish policies and procedures designed to provide it with reasonable assurance that appropriate consultation takes place on difficult or contentious matters. That sufficient resources are available to enable consultation to take place. The nature and scope of such consultations are documented, and conclusions resulting from consultations are documented and implemented. Another question. An external reviewer has performed an engagement quality control review and has a difference of opinion as to the treatment of an item in the financial statements. The engagement partner insists that they alone have responsibility for the audit opinion and the report should be issued without regard to the external reviewer. What is the correct way to proceed? The report should not be issued until the matter is resolved. The firm should have established procedures to resolve such differences, for example, by consulting with another practitioner, firm, or a professional or regulatory body. The firm should establish policies and procedures requiring, for appropriate engagements, an engagement quality control review that provides an objective evaluation of the significant judgments made by the team and the conclusions reached. Engagement quality control review. These are required for all audits of financial statements of listed entities. Criteria should be set out against which other engagements should be evaluated to determine whether an engagement quality review should be performed, and those meeting the criteria should have such a review. This might be based on the level of public or media interest, for instance, a privately owned Premier League football club. The review must be completed before the report is issued. Monitoring. The firm should establish policies and procedures designed to provide it with reasonable assurance that the policies and procedures relating to the system of quality control are relevant, adequate, operating effectively, and complied with in practice. Such policies and procedures should include an ongoing consideration and evaluation of the firm's system of quality control, including a periodic inspection of a selection of completed engagements. The purpose of monitoring compliance with quality control policies and procedures is to provide an evaluation of adherence to professional standards and regulatory and legal requirements, whether the quality control system has been appropriately designed and effectively implemented, and whether the firm's quality control policies and procedures have been appropriately applied, so that reports that are issued by the firm or engagement partners are appropriate in the circumstances. Engagements selected for inspection include at least one engagement for each engagement partner over an inspection cycle. An inspection cycle ordinarily spans no more than 3 years. Some inspections may be selected without prior notification of the engagement team. Small firms and sole practitioners may wish to use suitably qualified external parties or share resources with other organisations. Time for another question. On what basis should files be selected for quality control review? Things to consider would include the size of the firm, the number and location of sites, results of any previous monitoring. The nature and complexity of the firm's practice and organisation, and the risks associated with the firm's clients and specific engagements. Let's have another question. An inspection has revealed that the firm's quality control procedures have not been followed on a specific engagement. What are the implications for the audit firm? Firstly, does the deficiency indicate that the firm has not complied with professional, regulatory, or legal requirements? Does the deficiency indicate a systematic problem? And whether remedial actions are required? Remedial actions may include remedial action in relation to an individual engagement, improvements to training and professional development where the problem is more widespread, and also where the problem is more widespread, perhaps changes to quality control policies and procedures. Disciplinary action against those failing to comply with policies and procedures, especially repeat offenders. Further action to comply with the professional, regulatory, and legal requirements. And finally, consideration of whether legal advice is required. At least annually, the firm should communicate the results of its monitoring of its quality control system to engagement partners and other appropriate individuals within the firm, such as the firm's chief executive officer. Such communication should enable the firm and these individuals to take prompt and appropriate action where necessary in accordance with their defined roles and responsibilities. Information communicated should include the following: the description of the monitoring procedures performed, the conclusions drawn from the monitoring procedures, and where relevant, a description of the systematic, repetitive, or other significant deficiencies and of the actions taken to resolve or amend those deficiencies. We now move on to ISA 220, Quality Control for Audits of Historical Information. This standard applies the firm-wide quality control procedures in the context of individual audits and therefore covers similar areas, namely leadership, ethical requirements, acceptance and continuance of client relationships and specific engagements, assignment of engagement teams, engagement performance, and monitoring. Leadership. The engagement partner should take responsibility for the overall quality on each audit engagement to which that partner is assigned. The way the partner ensures quality control on individual engagements serves as a useful recap for the ideas we have seen in ISQC1. Steps in quality control. The following steps should be taken by the partner. Acceptance and continuance. Assignment of personnel. Direction, which we talk about on the next slide. Supervision. Review. Consultation. And engagement quality control review. The last two of these, if they are applicable. All of these steps must have been taken before the audit report can be signed. Engagement performance. The auditor directs the audit engagement by informing the members of the engagement team of their responsibilities, the nature of the entity's business, any risk-related issues they should be aware of, problems that may arise, perhaps based on past history of the client, and the detailed approach to the performance of the audit. While the audit partner is responsible for quality control, clearly they cannot do all the work personally, and the act of delegation requires that the engagement team members also accept some responsibility for quality. The engagement team's responsibilities include maintaining objectivity and professional skepticism, performing work delegated to them with due professional care, to raise questions of more experienced team members where necessary. Question. Review of audit work is a key quality control mechanism. What are the objectives in reviewing audit files? The review considers whether work has been performed in accordance with requirements and standards. The significant matters have been raised for further consideration. Appropriate consultations have taken place. Whether any revision of work performed as necessary. Work performed supports conclusions reached. Evidence obtained is sufficient and appropriate to support the audit report. And ultimately, that the objectives of the audit have been achieved. Review. The standard does not require that the partner reviews the entire audit file. However, it does require that the more experienced team members review the work of less experienced team members. Okay, so let's bring together the ideas we've seen so far in a case question. David, an audit partner, is under pressure to reduce the cost of a client's audit or they will engage another firm of auditors. David establishes how much the client would be prepared to pay in order to not change auditor. David's firm rewards partners on the level of the profit their clients generate, so he deducts an acceptable profit margin from the job to obtain a budget for the client's audit. By reducing his involvement in the planning and review stages, and by reducing the grade of the team member in charge of the field work, he is confident he can still do the job while still repeating the audit procedures performed last year. What are the quality control issues arising from this case? 1. The level of work required on an audit is determined by the need to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence to support an audit opinion. While it is important to provide a cost-effective audit, the level of audit work required cannot be dictated by the fee the client is willing to pay. If the client is not prepared to pay for a quality audit, then the auditor should resign. ISQC1 requires that firms' performance evaluation and remuneration policies demonstrate an overriding commitment to quality, which is not necessarily the case here. David, as the audit engagement partner, has the overriding responsibility for quality on this individual engagement, but is letting commercial considerations take priority. He needs to ensure that his personal involvement in the audit is adequate. Planning and review stages are where the partner's experience is crucial, particularly if the grade of other staff is to be reduced. David is making the assumption that the procedures performed last year will be sufficient and appropriate this year. This is not a quality approach to planning, as it fails to take account of changes in the business environment. So, in summary, ISQC1 sets out the standards and guidelines relating to quality control that the firm itself should operate and covers the following areas: leadership, ethical requirements, acceptance and continuance of client relationships and specific engagements, human resources, engagement performance, and monitoring. ISO 220 then applies the firm-wide quality control procedures in the context of individual audits, and therefore covers similar areas of leadership, ethical requirements, acceptance and continuance of client relationships and specific engagements, assignment of engagement teams, engagement performance, and monitoring. And that concludes our presentation on quality control.